Well done, man. Your first solo episode.
my first solo episode. Yeah, it was nice. It was a good discussion. This week, we spoke with Shen, who's a growth product / founder person who's been doing it for many years, mostly in fintech. So we talked a bit about that. She was at Zilch, for example, that some people might know. Pretty successful buy now, pay later, BNPL company. She's now launched or about to launch a second startup. She already launched one project, bootstrapped. So we talk a bit about that too. She's really big on automation and using AI to productize or automate processes and stuff. So we dived into that a little bit as well, and also a work as fractional growth person, so advising as well, and that's that transition from full time to basically not being full time anymore and working for other businesses and launching our own project. So some great parallel with where I am at as well. So it was a nice back and forth because I was asking questions also out of curiosity for myself. We also mentioned that I'm out of job right now. So we'll do another episode about that. I'm in the market. Got a free agent, top tier marketer, looking for another role. But we talk about that. We mentioned I'm not set on not doing full-time anymore. I'm actually still interested in going full-time in a company, and she's not. So that was a nice exchange. But yeah, it's a great episode. Hope you enjoy.
My favorite bit was when I said hello and goodbye.
Yeah, and Jake wasn't there. Yeah, that's the main positive of this episode.
Hey,
how are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm great. How are you guys?
Good morning. Yeah, all good. All good.
Very
welcome
good.
Welcome to the podcast.
I love the hat. I want one.
Oh, yeah. They're fresh out of the oven. Yeah, no, everyone wants one. We only made 10, so we have to, we're going to have to find a way to distribute them in a fair manner. But I'm glad that you want one.
Maybe it needs to be a top ranking episode. Once every quarter, the top ranking episode gets
maybe one. Something like that.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
And for a little technical recording bit today, Jake is going to pop off for a few minutes during the recording. We'll just carry on, the two of us, and then we'll come back. Just some kids maintenance situation.
So, <yeah. laughs> kids maintenance. I don't think I've heard that one before, but
yeah, just make up expressions on the spot. Before we dive into some interesting topic in growth and product marketing and those kind of things, can you give us a little bit, because we don't know you, a bit of background, that's who you are, Shen, what you've done so far in your career. We had a look, but it'd be good to hear it from you and go from there.
Sure thing. So my degrees are in English, communication, and philosophy. So that's just naturally kind of brought me to my career on an interest in human behavior and translating that into design and journeys and experiences. I actually started my professional career. So I was teaching in China. That's why I lived there. And I was going to be a filmmaker in the States. But when I set myself, let's try a couple of things out. So I started my career, my proper career in marketing. So I worked for B2B businesses where I transformed traditional marketing and moved them online. So it's still, you know, like where it was still like these, this was probably around 2016. Everything was, billboards was still a thing, like events, expensive marketing. And so I would go in businesses and kind of optimize their websites, build their inbound flows, so on and so forth. That naturally led me to starting owning CMS systems, CRM systems, which naturally progressed to product management and product ownership. The first products that I owned and managed was in fintech, where it came in from an idea, launched that idea, and grew the user base to 200,000 users month on month. So we grew 200,000 users month on month after release. And then I then moved to London and worked for Zilch, which was is a London startup as well. So I came in as a first one product manager hire. We had a head of product, and I was the first executing hire. We had a wait list then. We haven't even launched in the App Store. And then I led the new customer domain and the decisioning domain. So build credit models, own the onboarding flow. And that customer base grew to 3 million users after 2 years. So I was like, maybe I'm onto something here. Worked for another couple of startups. I worked for a venture studio and then became part of Angel Investing School, where I started like meeting all these founders. And then that kind of evolved my role to product growth role for B2B businesses and B2C businesses as well. I'm starting a couple of startups. One is Launch Lemonade, which is a platform for non-technical entrepreneurs to build AI enablement in their products. And then the other one is, we're still in stealth. We're about to launch, I think, in the next couple of weeks. Which is in fintech. So my passion and mission, I think, the mission that I've assigned myself is to bridge the financial literacy gap and the AI literacy gap, specifically for women. So yeah, that is a little bit about me.
That's a journey.
It has been a journey.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
it's okay. Your next startup is going to go very well, and maybe in like 5-7 years you're done, you can just exit and then you retire.
What about you guys?
That's really cool. Well, we've got like a bit of fintech in common, so I was quite keen to talk about that a little bit. But we can't talk about me because I'm actually unemployed now. That's one of the subject of maybe the next episode of this podcast. We'll talk about what the hell am I doing. Yeah, exactly. It's a fresh start. So but yeah, I've been around the block for 10 years or so. We used to work together with Jake. So we told that story a few times, but for people listening for the first time, we used to work together about 10 years ago doing Facebook ads in a Facebook ad agency. And then we both went into our careers since then, worked in different quite successful companies. Started this podcast last year. So yeah, it's been good. It's been good. Did I miss anything, Jay? Do you want to add something to that?
No, that's great. And my kids have all started crying as you started talking, so that's the perfect.
There you go. So that's your cue.
And be back in hopefully 15 minutes.
See you in a bit. But yeah, I wanted to ask you, why fintech? Was that like something that you were interested in to begin with, or you fell into it in, you know, that role before Zilch or at Zilch, and then became like more of like a passion, like a work passion type thing, and you wanted to stay in that industry? Or can you tell me a bit more about that?
My fintech journey started because I wanted to move to the city, actually. So I lived in Harrogate, which is a beautiful town up in the north, and then there was a job opening for a financial institution, quite established one. And I applied and I got the role. So I fell into it. And then it became a passion. So people were talking about how unsexy it was because it was a proper financial institution that wanted to transform how they operated. And they built a digital function within the business. And I was one of the first hires in that digital transformation.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot about like financial literacy and how much of a gap there is. I think the literacy age was, I think, 13 years old in the UK or something like that. And people didn't feel like they were in control of their finances. And so it became a passion, an interest, even though it was deemed like unsexy.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. And it's definitely not a done kind of topic. Like there's so many startups and companies still trying to bridge that gap, financial literacy gap. And there's a lot of interesting stuff to be done, which we'll get to, I guess, like in what you're doing more like right now with as much as you can share with your stealth startup and like the gap with AI, etc. But if we go back to like the couple of examples that you gave, like successes that you had, like for example at Zilch, like what was it in your role you think that or in the industry at that time that made it successful and that allow for products like that to grow really fast?
I think when that company grew, it was during the pandemic, actually. So there was a big necessity for products like those. Buy now, pay later. There were a lot of fintech.
Yeah, remind us what it is, actually, because for people who don't know Zilch, it's a BNPL.
It's a BNPL company. You can split your payments. Similar like Klarna, if you're familiar with Klarna, that is a similar product. So during the pandemic, I think there was a clear necessity for products like those, which allowed us to grow. But also the team was very, I think, passionate about what we were doing during that time. Like the stories were real. We were very customer centric. We really focused on what the people needed and translated that into positioning that was quite effective. So I think that that really allowed that company, and similar to the previous product, which is actually a platform where you can set up a payments and one-off payments to close off your debt accounts. So there was a clear need for people to have a sense of control over their finances and be able to manage that with easy to use applications.
Yeah.
And understanding that and translating that into a journey that actually translates to what your customers actually need and understand it, from my experience and what I've seen, it translates to growth.
Okay. Yeah. And was there like a particular product feature or part of the onboarding, for example? I think that's what I read, like maybe that you were in charge that made it even easier, like something that you worked on that you might be able to share?
For sure. So with the first product, it was called Lowell, actually, the one of the products that I led on delivering.
Yeah.
Copy and understanding user behavior was a big factor in the growth of the product. I think Lowell now is in the top 10 most downloaded finance tools in the App Store consistently. Wow. And Zilch has always been there as well. But I think it was around the language and using framing, using, you know, like, social proofing, and making those steps easy converts to increased conversions, and continuous experimentation and understanding of what the, you know, your customer's language is and translating that into the product actually makes a difference.
Yeah. Do you remember how easy it was for you and the team to experiment on, like, let's say, like a power of onboarding and relaunch an app, the app slightly differently. Like, do you remember like how the setup was, and if there was like some learnings there to make it happen?
Yeah, different experiences. I think when I was beginning, I think my advantage was that I worked in marketing teams, and so I understand how kind of like the top of the funnel works and how important it is to collaborate with the marketing team to translate to who they've captured the leads into converted users through the app works, because that journey often, as I've noticed, can be disjointed. You know, you've got your marketing teams who works in silo, you've got your product teams who works in silo, and bridging that and making that journey cohesive is actually critical. And so that was one thing. And second thing is always talking to customers and capturing their sentiment and translating that into the journey is another. Did that answer your question?
I think it's the beginning of an answer. I want to dig it into a bit more, because that's more, I feel like that's something that is more your expertise than, for example, Jake and I, where we're more on the marketing acquisition most of the time side of things, as opposed to product. In terms of what the growth team looked like, was it effectively product and marketing coming together, let's say on a frequency basis, like on a weekly basis, and that was growth, or was there a different setup?
In the two successful teams that I worked for, where that happened, it worked really well. So there were two teams that I've been part of where the marketing and the product team sat basically in the same area. And for example, there was one team where I would literally sit next to the guys who own the acquisition channels and kind of just monitoring how those acquisition channels work. And I would then work with a development team who would then optimize or build and optimize integrations with these acquisition channels. We also work closely with the CRM manager and the head of marketing, where we would make sure that the journey is cohesive. So yes, it translated to weekly meetings, sometimes bi-weekly meetings, where we would share, all right, this is how each of the funnels are performing. This is how the product's performing. How can we improve this?
Okay. That makes sense. Oh, also, by the way, you mentioned bi-weekly meetings. This is something that is always a misconception with a lot of people.
Do you mean
twice a week or fortnightly?
Twice a week.
I had this discussion like literally a few days ago, earlier this week. And I was like, everyone gets it wrong. Especially in those like meeting invites, you know, when you get like a meeting invite for something bi-weekly, you know, it's often fortnightly, but
Twice
a week. Okay. A lot of people make that mistake. So
I would say fortnightly. I would say fortnightly for every other week, but I would say bi-weekly as in twice a week.
In terms of, and feel free also to answer with what you think is best as well, like is your your experience and in today's you know, economy, and you know, they said it's a different time, you know, like when I think when Zilch and like other fintech companies a few years ago, even during the pandemic, was very different mindset from an investment point of view and how aggressive you could go with your growth, etc. Do you think there is a different setup today to think when you think about growth within your team in terms of what that team looks like and also how do they work together? Do you think there's a difference or not really?
Yeah, I think, and there's a lot of factors to the how things are evolving. One is, for example, funding. So pre-pandemic and even during pandemic, like funding was quite healthy. And the teams were usually healthier. So you would have someone who is just in charge of sales, a team, a sales team, a marketing team, and you've got like a product team. And these teams are quite healthy. And now, as we're moving to kind of a world where funding is difficult, teams are becoming leaner by choice or because they just don't have the funds to grow these teams. And so the roles and how the functions are evolving as well. So, for example, I've worked with more recently, I work with B2B products. The growth role, and I've been doing a little bit market research with growth roles as well, is that that role actually doesn't have a clear kind of role description. They could be working with sales team. They could be a little bit more business development as well, and like coming up with strategies on how to convert to a demo, what to do with that demo, what data to capture during that demo, and then some marketing, some other growth roles would just focus on, talking to customers and build basically leading product teams as well to kind of make sure that that product evolves for growth, that is product growth. So basically the answer to that question is it is evolving because as I've noticed, and maybe this is because I've been more exposed to really lean teams more recently, is that teams are becoming leaner and roles are evolving based on the needs. So whatever it takes to grow, that roles are evolving.
No, for sure. And I think if you're looking at a growth role in your within your career right now, look in the fine prints within the role, because it could be, like you said, it could be like a complete different role from one business model to another, depending on the needs, depending on how advanced the startup or the company is in their journey. They won't need the same thing. So yeah, it's definitely not a one size fits all, and you're most likely going to do more than you used to do before.
Absolutely. No, 100%. Like with the company that I'm a co-founder, my official title is Chief Product Officer, but I'm also looking at kind of like our AI capabilities and building a strategy for that. I'm also looking at content and growing communities with my co-founders and with the other startup. We basically kind of just there's the two of us. We basically divided the roles. Like, okay, I manage this channel. I manage this channel. You manage the build. I manage the content and the branding. I manage, business, and we both do business development. Like these roles are definitely evolving.
Is the same, are you working with the same co-founder on both for both companies? Two
No.
different people?
Yeah,
Wow.
two different teams.
That's ambitious. How do you manage all that?
AI. AI is
AI, yeah, okay. The sound cut for a second, so I didn't hear the first letter. I just said I. Okay, AI.
No.
That makes sense.
AI. Yeah.
In what in what sense? Tell me a bit more about that. How do you use it to help you at the moment?
Yeah, so I build literally assistants for everything, and our platform allows people to build assistants for everything that they can monetize from. But for me specifically, like before this conversation, I was just building a GA for analyst assistant where I could literally just take screenshots of my Google Analytics data, upload it, and would tell me, it would translate for me, okay, these are things that's happening, this is what you need to do next. I built an assistant that is a chief growth officer. So it would analyze for me, my Google Trends data. It would analyze for my competitive analysis. It would analyze for me interviews. And then I just feed that in and would kind of like highlight for me, okay, these are the things that you should consider doing. And then I just read it. I'm like, all right, that makes sense or that doesn't make sense. And then I build a strategy. With product development, like I've built tools that would help me build epic stories, initiatives. I just use it for everything. I'm a note taker, so I love taking notes. I have like years and years worth of notes. I basically have my knowledge base, and I configure my assistants based on kind of like my style
Your
and my
notes.
knowledge.
That's really cool. That's really clever. What do you use to build those assistant? Like, what's the stack looking like? How do you do that?
Yeah, so Launch Lemonade is actually a platform that can do that for you. So you basically use prompts. I have, for example, in December, I conducted 50 one-to-ones with startup founders, offering my help, but I captured like their biggest problems and I just dumped that in an analyzer, an assistant that I built, and highlighted for me top 10 common problems that founders have.
Now
I'm building solutions for them. So it's just, it's, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. We're looking into doing that for the podcast as well. For us to be able to ask, based on all the episodes we recorded, like knowledge base type stuff, but also like top 10 problems, whatever, you know.
Yeah, I can give you a prompt after the episode.
Yeah. But I would love also to embed it into the website so anyone can prompt based on the episode. That could be quite interesting, especially if you have like a question on like, I don't know, pricing or onboarding or TikTok ads or whatever. Like, it could just come up with like a summary. This is the episode that you could listen to, but this is the summary points and things like that.
Doable.
So yeah, no, that's cool. I wanted to ask you as well, like, what was the transition like for you from having like full-time roles within like the last few years in your career, and then recently, when did you switch into launching your own projects and startups, as well as working as like a fractional freelancer, like consultant for companies?
Yeah, no, actually, my journey has been starting since early last year, where it was clear that there were opportunities for me to explore. There were queries, like there were, you know, do I have capacity to support? I've been advising startups since 3 or 4 years ago, where people would come to me via recommendations and say, oh, can I have an hour with you every week or every other week to talk about my product? So that has been brewing since 2018. I wasn't necessarily monetizing from it. I actually was a part-time, like photography was my hobby then. But,
nice.
And then when I left my kind of Zilch, I worked for a different company and it just didn't fit well. It didn't work out eventually. And so I then reconnected with, well, he's my mentor, and I basically started kind of working for the company that he founded. But that was kind of part-time. And then that, so I've had a part-time role with them where I was exposed to a lot of founders and grew and became a Techstars mentor and basically grew my portfolio of products that I was mentoring and I got like offers for to become a proper advisor in exchange of sweat equity. And so that was last year, that was already growing bit by bit. And then I got an offer to become a co-founder. And then my full-time role then actually didn't work out as well. And so the offer came before and I was just like, this is the time. Like,
I see what you mean. It's like there were some signs that pushed you in that direction, like slowly but surely, or like things were slowly aligning towards that. Yeah, it's really interesting because it's there's a lot of similarities with what's happened to me as well in the last few years. That's what I wanted to ask you as well, because I think it's interesting. It won't be interesting to too many people because I feel like it's a very privileged position to be in. And I think, it doesn't come early in a career. It comes after some experience and some successes, I guess. Because like you said, It comes most likely from word of mouth, maybe a bit of content if you've done a bit of LinkedIn or whatever, if you shared a bit around your journey, people pay attention. But it's interesting to slowly transitioning to advising, getting a bit of equity, getting requested for like co-founder positions. And it's a nice thing, but at the same time, I know for me, I'm still in a phase where I'm like, I still like full-time position. I still like to be focused on one thing. I don't know when that will switch. I actually, tried to fully transition like you did 2 years ago before I started at Nudes or the fintech I was working with up until recently. But one of these companies was Nude, and I was doing a fractional position with them, and I ended up liking the team and the product so much that I actually joined as CMO. So I went backwards, not backwards, but like, you know, I went back to that path. It's not like, I don't want to say it's forwards or backwards, but like I just went back to full time. But yeah, how is it for you in your head now? You're kind of set in your like advising fractional plus also like your own company. So like I feel like you've made the decisions there, but like, how do you feel about it?
My philosophy in life, and this was taught to me by my mom and my dad, is my mom and my dad started from nothing and became something, is that you take on, and I was a basketball player as well. And what I've learned from my parents and basketball is that you take every shot you can take, you shoot your shot. Right. Yeah, every opportunity, every time you have that ball and it's open, you got that line of sight, you're going to take it. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think what's beautiful, and I'm so thankful. I mean, I'm tired, but I'm so thankful that I'm having all of these opportunities now and I'm giving it my all, is I want to give each of these chances a shot and grow it, because not every startup grows, not every thing is successful, because you know, like, you've got other factors like market funding, you've got like it could be people as well, it could be so many factors. Yeah. That my view is, I'm very passionate about bridging that financial literacy gap, and that will always be my passion. And I'm very passionate about the startup that I'm co-founding, that once we are set up, you know, like, that is, I'm properly excited, but I just can't share a lot about it. And with Launch Lemonade, we bootstrapped it. My co-founder is brilliant. We have been able to bootstrap it and launch it in weeks, like a couple weeks. So it's kind of like just growing naturally. And again, with all of these AI tools, a lot of things are becoming possible. And with scale that thing and the fractional work, again, everything is scalable. Like, I've literally built AI tools that can assist people. And my time is like, I'm really good at organizing my time and making sure that I've got time for things. So right now, I don't feel like concerned with the choices and the opportunities that I have. I'm very excited.
No, that's great. That's great. Do you how do you on the fractional thing? So it's called, your fractional work is called Scale That Thing, right? That's what's on on your website. Do you do anything to make sure you've got a constant like stream of new companies reaching out to you, or is it leads, or is it purely word of mouth at this point?
So the website came out last Monday, and it was
fresh.
So my website was chantalon.com. It was my appointments and my clients came through word of mouth. And I just started, you know, like making sure that I productized my offerings as I went. So over the next, over the last couple of weeks, I've, you know, like analyzed the data, understood what the biggest problems are, what the biggest pain points are, and then I just translated that to scale that thing. It was just through, so basically the answer to that is it was word of mouth, and then I validated that the problem exists, and then people were calling for it to be productized. Like a couple of people were like, Shen, why don't you productize this? You know, you could scale that offering, solving that problem a little bit more for people who want to self-serve. And so I really scaled that thing, built it over the weekend. And I was, this is why I built the GA4 analyst assistant, because I'm looking at the performance of the website. I hope that answered the question. I feel like
that's great. Yeah. So mostly, word of mouth and, through the, to the people you
and I basically did a master class. So I did a webinar. There were 70 signups, 50% came on Monday. Wow. And that's why I build the funnels. That actually prompted me, all right, I'm going to build these funnels so people can have a way to access the GPTs.
Okay, that makes sense. Because I saw as well, there's another thing, like I was wondering, I saw that you've got a set price for discovery calls. How does it work? Like do people genuinely like come warm somehow, heard about you and pay before even talking to you? Does that work? Like I've always been curious because I've never done this.
So no, that is, I'm figuring out. So I launched again, because I launched the website Monday. There were a couple of people who actually started the funnel but haven't converted yet. And I had, I think like 500 event sessions, according to GA4, that I'm trying to analyze now. And so what that validates for me, so in during the call, let's start with the masterclass. So I launched the website, had the masterclass, and then I got loads of traffic after the masterclass. I did a post as well on LinkedIn, and that drove a little bit more traffic on the website, on the landing page that I specifically created. I saw in analytics that that engagement on the two offerings, which was the frameworks and then the frameworks plus the call, were quite even. Like I think there were over 20 engagement on those pages, and that led to a click, couple of clicks, but haven't converted. So what that tells me is there's interest, but maybe there's an issue with the pricing point or intent to do the thing. So maybe there's a barrier, like they're not confident, maybe there's no trust. So that is what I'm trying to figure out now. Now your question is, does that work? Is actually a question for yourself, like and how you kind of maybe want to what you're trying to achieve as well. So my objective is to monetize, whereas I could consider removing that paywall and capture leads. So if my main objective right now is to get more leads and appointments so I can convert them, I'm going to remove that paywall up. But right now, my objective is to monetize from the top, from my time, because I have to be very rigid. And I, you know, like, and I feel like I've worked to capture the leads. Now I want to convert them to a paying customer. So now I'm experimenting on that feature to see if it works. Growth is all about experimentation.
No, it's a good answer. No, I understand, because I've seen a few people, not just in growth, in other disciplines, that use the Calendly or others, but like paid feature. I've also seen this company, have you heard of Intro?
No,
there's a startup called Intro. I think it's more American, but you've got very high profile people putting up to, I think you start for 15 minutes incremental. So like there's a price for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, and then maybe like an hour and a half or something. And we had a laugh before with Jake, because there's this this guy that you might know, very successful growth app person called Nikita Beer, who's on Intro, and I think his half an hour is like $4,000 or something like that for 30 minutes.
Wow.
I'm like, this is the goal. This is the goal.
This is the goal. Actually, I forgot to mention, I did have a part-time partnership last year with something like Intro, but they were Dubai-based. They're called Wise Advisor. And I was getting, so I was priced at $400 per hour. And I took in 30-minute bookings, which was 200. And people engaged with that. I converted some calls. So actually, that was where I now I'm remembering. That was where kind of like I validated that actually people will pay.
Yeah, for sure. Because I think the other side of this, and I've experienced it myself a few times, without regrets, but you know, I've just noticed it, that you can talk to people one time, maybe a couple of times, for free, and then when you start engaging on the pricing situation, they've already asked you all the questions, and then they're like, maybe we're not going to be able to pay anything
anymore. Yeah.
But yeah, so no, I think that also could happen, where people actually didn't intend to pay anything from the beginning. But I'm always very scarce with my answers before that happens. So it's like
one thing that I've learned actually from my mentor, who's amazing at this, is to add value. Like I always aim to add value, no matter, you know, like no matter what the return is, because in marketing, we have drip marketing, and we have like also the philosophy of planting the seeds, and that's all. Like that's my philosophy, is to just add value, even if it's free, even if it's not paid, and then one way or another, I take that as a positive, because one, I learn from it, I learn from people. And yeah, like you could always productize your learnings moving forward.
Yeah. No, it's true. Actually, you gave a much better answer than I just did, because I do tend to give a bit too much value to begin with. But I agree with you. Like you never know. It's a small world, especially when you're in the same discipline, like growth, marketing, startups, you know, like founders, especially when you're like, maybe not in the US, because it's a huge country and there's like, you know, East, West, and there's like a lot of people, but in the UK, it's pretty tight, you know? So I feel like that's our word of mouth, and, you know, your reputation can spread positively or negatively if you are generous with the value. Sometimes what happens is like just being able to connect someone with someone else, you're not taking away from your network. You actually, like, I think there's a phrase like that. You're multiplying your opportunities by connecting two people that didn't know each other, because they now both know each other through you. That's another good way to, sometimes when you don't directly can like help, you could just intro someone else. That's another good way to do that. Hey Jake, welcome back.
Hey guys, can you just say that whole last 30 minutes again?
It's okay, Shen has an AI for that, and she's gonna give us the prompt to she's got an agent. We're gonna summarize everything for you. Now we're just talking about working like more on a fractional basis. We're talking about charging for discovery calls versus not charging, and giving value regardless, and you know what that could bring to you in the future. But yeah, actually, I was thinking of kind of wrapping up. So, unless you had like specific questions, Jake, that you wanted to ask, I was kind of done. Also, I wanted to say I'm also big into basketball. What how long did you play?
I played for 10 years. I actually got into national level. We got second place. I was center. Like, I'm not tall. I'm 5'8". But in the Philippines, I'm tall.
We're the same. I played for, 15 years. Same professional. Came second in the French National League. And I was a center. So, there you go. Boom.
Yeah, I was center.
But I'm 6'4". Because in France, you have to be a bit tall.
Love that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's great.
Definitely. Maybe we can play. Yeah. I haven't played in a while. Maybe in half a year.
Oh, that's not too long. Half a year. That's fine. 6 months. I'm about to restart. Yeah.
I don't know about that. One-on-one. Yeah. It has to. He's 6'4". I'm 5'.
I'm about to start games again soon in a couple of weeks in leagues that are around London. So I'll tell you how it goes. Some of them are mixed, actually.
Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen the mixed ones.
That's cool.
When I find time, definitely.
Right? Yeah, though you sound busy, so that's fine. You got an excuse. All right. Jake, can you conclude, please? Now, if people wants to connect with you, Shen, what's the best way to reach out?
Yep, so I'm on LinkedIn, Shen Solon, CINSOLON. My website, scalethatthing.com. You can find me on all social media with my name. I've also started growing my social media for Scale That Thing. And my websites are launchlemonade.app, where you can create your own AI assistants that you can monetize from and share with an audience. It's got a CRM tool as well, where you can communicate with your customers. And yeah, watch out for my other product that's coming out soon.
Interesting. Yeah. Full of surprises.
I feel like I missed a really good conversation, but it's difficult to contribute when you've been in the first 5 minutes in the last. Yeah. Sounds like you guys have had a good chat anyway.
We did.
Thank you for the time, Shen. That was great. That was a good chat.
Thanks for having me and good luck. Yeah, I can't wait to see the episode. Let me know when it's out.
Thank you, Shen, and apologies for not being
No worries. Next time. All right. Bye, guys.